so to speak. It was a pretty tough race, pretty nasty race, and he beat them all, and he beat them all very easily. And now he's become even more popular as they got to know him and know him better. He's doing a really fantastic job. So it's an honor to. I also endorsed him, so I'm very proud of that. I don't endorse too many people, but I endorsed him, and I was very proud of that. The job he's done. I want to thank Vince Haley for that recommendation. Vince was fantastic, and I appreciate it. And I can tell you who really appreciates it, Poland, because they're very happy with their president. And I just want to say it's an honor to have you. We'll be discussing trade and various other things, the things that you discuss. We'll have a few questions from you, and then we'll get on to a discussion, then we'll have lunch, and then he goes and he meets with the Pope. And that'll be very exciting. And say hello to the Pope for me.
Yeah, okay. I will.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, and I would like to express my gratitude for your invitation. Only after 1 month from my sworn in sworn and from celebration for my inauguration, it means that Polish-American relations are very important, very strong. I think that we have so strong relations that we have never had. And it's very important for me. Our relations are based, of course, on the values. Right. And thank you very much for your support, for your endorsement during my very hard campaign. I remember it, and I'm very grateful for your support. It was the fight me against others, so your support was very important. And the support of Polish people, Polish diaspora, in United States of America, we have almost more than 10 million people here, and they voted for Donald Trump.
They voted for me.
Yeah, and in vast majority they voted also for me, so I would like to say hello to Polish diaspora in United States of America. Those relations for me, for Poland, for Poles, are very important with United States of America, and they are based on values: independence, sovereignty, democracy. And I think, Mr. President, that those values are epitomized by our common heroes.
Yes.
Kazimierz Pułaski and Tadeusz Kościuszko. So thank you very much, and I hope it will be very fruitful discussion around the energy, around the economy and military service. Yeah.
And the flyover was very much in honor of your great pilot who just passed away recently, who was a legend in Poland. You might want to say something about him.
Yes, of course, it was a terrific accident in Poland. Thank you for this gesture that F-35 opened our meeting. Major Krakowian was one of the best Polish pilots, well-honed Polish pilots, and he died. He lost two children, so it was a great tragedy.
He was a legend in Poland, actually, a legend as a pilot. He was an incredible pilot, and I think he went to the Air Force Academy, actually. But he was a fantastic pilot, and it was a big setback. The people of Poland are very, very sad, so we thought we'd do that. That was the single plane that swooped up.
And machines, American machines, opened our meeting. It was great. And we are waiting for 32 F-35s in Poland. So it also shows that we have great relations according to the best military equipment on the world, American equipment, which built Polish security too.
Well, Poland, we've had a tremendous relationship. I think now it's better than ever because of this relationship. But it's a little special because we fought together. But we've always been very good, and we have some wonderful people, as you know. Duda, my friend, he's a good man and still a big fan of yours, very much so. So it's a great honor, and we're going to talk about trade. We'll talk about some other things. We'll take a couple of questions from the media.
Will American soldiers remain in Poland? Will American soldiers remain in Poland?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, do you know something I don't? I don't know. Yeah, we're very happy. If anything, we'll put more there if they want. But they've long wanted to have a larger presence. We have some countries that have more, not too many. But no, they'll be staying in Poland. We're very much aligned with Poland.
Sir, on Russia and China, and you certainly asked about, we saw a dramatic picture where we saw the leaders of Russia and North Korea and China together, the first time the leaders of those three countries have been together in this sort of show of solidarity. You said that they're conspiring against the United States. What do you think they're conspiring to do? And given this, is it reason why you should slap or would consider slapping secondary sanctions on Russia if they're conspiring against the U.S. now?
Well, I've already done that with regard to India, and we're doing it with regard to other things. And I put out a truth last night. You saw that. And I was the one that brought it up. I said, they're only doing this. They're looking to, when they did what they did, I thought it was a beautiful ceremony. I thought it was very, very impressive. But I understood the reason they were doing it, and they were hoping I was watching, and I was watching. My relationship with all of them is very good. We're gonna find out how good it is over the next week or two. I think that we helped China very much, as you know, when they talk about freedom. And I don't believe that, and maybe I'm wrong, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't believe that America, that the United States was acknowledged for helping China to get to gain its freedom. But perhaps that was just that was a sleight of hand. I mean, I was very surprised. I watched the speech last night. President Xi's a friend of mine. But I thought that the United States should have been mentioned last night during that speech because we helped China very, very much.
What was the reason they should have been invited,
Mr. President? What was the reason?
Mr. President, do you think they should have been invited?
Yes, go ahead.
You've expressed many times your frustration and disappointment with Putin, but there's no action since you took your office.
How do you know there's no? How do you know there's no action?
But
really?
Don't you worry?
Wait. Who are you with? Okay. How do you know there's no action? Would you say that putting secondary sanctions on India, the largest purchaser outside of China, they're almost equal, would you say there was no action? That cost hundreds of billions of dollars to Russia. You call that no action? And I haven't done phase two yet or phase three. But when you say there's no action, I think you ought to get yourself a new job. Because if you remember, 2 weeks ago I said, if India buys, India's got big problems, and that's what happens. So don't tell me about that.
Mr. President, right now there have been survivors of Jeffrey Epstein speaking at a press conference on Capitol Hill. They're calling for these case files, these documents to be released. And Thomas Massie, who is sponsoring a discharge petition to get the House to vote on releasing those documents, says he doesn't believe you're implicated in these files, but many of your friends and donors may be, and he says that's why the Justice Department is redacting them and slow-walking the release. Is the Justice Department protecting any friends or donors, sir?
So this is a Democrat hoax that never ends. You know, it reminds me a little of the Kennedy situation. We gave him everything over and over again, more and more and more, and nobody's ever satisfied. From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president. Even if you look at D.C. right now, D.C., it's a totally safe zone. It's called a safe zone. That's a term. It's a term of art. It's a safe zone because it's very safe. You can walk down the street now and nothing's going to happen. No crime, no murders, no nothing. Because we had a lot of problems with certain places, and we still do. All run by Democrats, or for the most part run by Democrats. So what they're trying to do with the Epstein hoax is get people to talk about that instead of speaking about the tremendous success like ending seven wars.
Sir,
I ended seven wars. Nobody's going to talk about because they're going to talk about the Epstein, whatever.
Sir,
I understand that we were subpoenaed to give files, and I understand we've given thousands of pages of files. And I know that no matter what you do, it's going to keep going. And I think it's enough because I think we should talk about the greatness of our country and the success that we're having. I think we're probably having, according to what I read, even from two people in this room, we're having the most successful 8 months of any president ever. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what we should be talking about, not the Epstein hoax.
When did you make a decision on Ukraine, Mr. President?
Mr. President,
I have no message to President Putin. He knows where I stand, and he'll make a decision one way or the other. Whatever his decision is, we'll either be happy about it or unhappy. And if we're unhappy about it, you'll see things happen.
Sir, Venezuela, can you give us a sense of what the U.S. policy or what you're trying to achieve with the aircraft carriers or the boats, I should say, in near Venezuela, and also the boat that you mentioned yesterday where 11 people were killed. What was found on that boat, and why were the men killed instead of taken
on the boat? You had massive amounts of drugs. We have tapes of them speaking. It was massive amounts of drugs coming into our country to kill a lot of people, and everybody fully understands that. In fact, you see it. You see the bags of drugs all over the boat, and they were hit. Obviously, they won't be doing it again, and I think a lot of other people won't be doing it again when they watch that tape. They're going to say, let's not do this. We have to protect our country, and we're going to. Venezuela's been a very bad actor. They've been, as you know, they've been sending millions of people into our country, many of them Tren de Aragua, some of the worst gangs, some of the worst people anywhere in the world in terms of gangs. And we had some in Washington, D.C. We took care of them very quickly, but they're out of here. They've gone. But Venezuela's been very bad, both in terms of drugs and sending some of the worst criminals anywhere in the world into our country. They emptied out, you don't know this, but they emptied out their prisons in Venezuela, and they emptied them out into the United States of America. And that's part of the problem we have. We're getting them out rapidly, but it's caused a tremendous problem. And Pete and all of the people that are working very hard to rectify the stupidity of the Biden administration, allowing these people to pour into our country with open borders. We are paying a big price as a country for the incompetence of the Biden administration. But think of it. Opened up prisons, drug dealers, drug lords, everything coming out of Venezuela, they said, and we said, we're not going to put up with it anymore. So Venezuela has been one of the worst actors in the whole group, and we have a group of pretty bad actors.
Are you wanting to force a
withdrawal? Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. At the end of this month, the government or the Congress has to pass a budget. Do you think we can avoid a government shutdown?
Yeah, I do. I think the Republicans will vote for an extension. We won't have any Democrat votes. We could give the greatest budget ever. Tax cut of 50%, everybody taken care of, perfect for women, perfect for men, perfect for minorities, perfect for everything, and we wouldn't get one vote for the Democrats because they've lost their mind. They are so deranged. They have Trump derangement syndrome, and I don't want to burn the Republican Party with it, but they really are. They've become almost sick. They actually think there is a disease. It's called Trump derangement syndrome. They've got it. No matter what we did, no matter how good, you could give them everything that they've ever dreamed of, and you wouldn't get one vote. These are sick people, and I think we're going to have a tremendous midterm. We just approved the largest tax decrease in the history of our country. We have things, if you think of it, no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security for our seniors, no tax on overtime. Deductions when you buy a car and you borrow money to buy a car. First time they've ever seen anything like this. Middle-income people get deductions. You get a deduction when you buy a car. Nobody's ever seen. And by the way, they're selling cars like crazy. Cars are pouring back because of the fact that we have tariffs. Cars are pouring back into our car plants are pouring back into our nation. They're coming from all over the world. They're coming back. You know, we lost about 54% of automobile manufacturing over a 35-year period. They're all coming back. I think they're coming back higher than ever before. We have AI going up. What we've done is amazing, and what we've passed is amazing, but the Democrats, I don't believe, will get one vote. It's very anti-crime. We want anti-crime. They're in favor of crime. We're against crime. You know, they gave us things like men playing in women's sports, open borders for everybody, transgender for everybody. I mean, they want a transgender for all of the crazy things that they were saying. And, you know, people would say they're 80-20 issues. I say they were 97-3. I always say 97-3, and nobody knows who the three are. This is the best issue of all. They are against preventing crime. They are fighting us. I want to go into Chicago, and I have this incompetent governor that doesn't want us. Do you know that this weekend, 72 people were shot in Chicago? I'm embarrassed to say it in front of the president of Poland. 11 people were killed. 72 people were shot. Last week, 7 people were killed in Chicago. a place which is probably your number one place. I hate to say it.
Yeah, a lot of Poles in Chicago.
And we got to keep it safe. But 7 people were killed. The week before that, 5 people were killed and 21 people were shot. This is in 3 weeks. So in 3 weeks, I lost almost 35 people were killed. It could have been stopped. If you look at Washington, D.C. 3 weeks ago, it was the same or worse. And now it's considered a totally safe zone. Restaurants are open. They're bustling. Restaurants. You have to see. Restaurants were dying. Nobody wanted to go out. They didn't want to be attacked. They didn't want to be mugged. They didn't want to be attacked even in the restaurant. And you take a look at what's happened. Friends of mine that haven't gone to a restaurant in 4 years, one of them went out 5 times in the last 2 weeks to a restaurant with his family. They feel totally safe. Washington, D.C. is a totally safe city. You're not reporting any crime because there is none. They said crime is down 87%, and I said, no, it's not. It's down 100%. We have a great thing going. I could do that with Chicago. We could do that with New York. We could do it with Los Angeles. So we're making a determination now. Do we go to Chicago or do we go to a place like New Orleans where we have a great governor, Jeff Landry, who wants us to come in and straighten out a very nice section of this country that's become quite, you know, quite tough, quite bad. So we're going to be going to maybe Louisiana. And you have New Orleans, which has a crime problem. We'll straighten that out in about 2 weeks. It'll take us 2 weeks, easier than D.C. But we could straighten out Chicago. All they have to do is ask us to go into Chicago if we don't have the support of some of these politicians. But I'll tell you who is supporting us, the people of Chicago. And I sort of want them to let it be known. They have incompetent people. A guy like Gavin Newsom, he's the governor of a state that if we didn't go in, if we didn't go into Los Angeles with our soldiers, with our National Guard, you wouldn't even be having the Olympics there. They were going to take it. And remember this, your top law enforcement officer in Los Angeles said, there's no way we could have done this without President Trump coming in with the troops. We saved Los Angeles and we saved the Olympics. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, in regards to Gavin Newsom, would you be open to a congressional investigation in regards to the specific Palisades fire where killed 12 seniors to see if there's any negligence on Gavin Newsom or Karen Bass in regards to those deaths?
Well, I'll tell you, there's negligence on not getting people permits. That is negligent. We got all of the federal permits, Lee Zeldin. The federal permits are much more difficult. They were all gotten within 30 days. People could go build the houses. It's going to be years before they are allowed to build the house. And Karen Bass is grossly incompetent. And Newsom, this is a very incompetent guy. I watched him with the hands. I'm saying, what's going on with the hands? There's something wrong with him. Do you watch him? There's something wrong with this guy. But more importantly, he didn't allow the water to come from the Pacific Northwest. You know, they have tremendous amounts of water in California. People don't know. They send the water out to the Pacific Ocean. So I demanded it be open. If that were open during the fire, before the fire, you wouldn't have had the fire because all the sprinklers would have worked in the houses. They had no water. They had no water in the fire hydrants. You wouldn't have had the fires. It would have been put out after one house, two houses. But he stopped the water from coming in. And I had to send in the military to have that water opened after the fires. And now they have water, but he should have more because they still restricted. There's something wrong with these people. There's something really wrong. As to investigation, I view it as a gross incompetence. I view it as an ideology that's wrong. It's a radical left ideology. And if I didn't win this election, I think our country would be destroyed. I don't believe you'd be here right now, and our country would be destroyed. Yeah.
Poland and U.S.
Well, it's just the relationship we have. I think there's a great trust and a great, more than most countries, more than almost any countries. We have some in a category that's very special, and Poland is in that category. We have a very special relationship. It's like the question about the soldiers that was asked. We never even thought in terms of removing soldiers from Poland. We do think about it with regard to other countries, but we would never know. We're with Poland all the way, and we will help Poland protect itself.
I would like to add something. Of course, security is most important also for our relation. And I'm a historian, as you know, maybe, Mr. President.
Sure.
I'm a historian, and this is the first time in Polish history, in 20th century and the 21st century, that the Poles are happy that we have foreign soldiers in Poland. So the American soldiers are the part of our society nowadays. We have almost 10,000 soldiers, and this is the signal to all world and also to the Russian Federation that we are together, but we are not like the Poland free riders in Europe and in NATO. Mr. President Trump knows it, because our GDP for military service achieved 4.7, so we are probably the one NATO nation which is on this level, and we will not stop. Me, as the president of Poland, we are going to achieve 5% of GDP for military service, but with American soldiers on Polish soil, we solidified and we are secure.
Just about that, you know, Poland was one of two nations that paid more than they were supposed to with NATO. I don't know if anyone knows that, but there were two nations, and Poland paid more than they were supposed to. They thought it was low. And by the way, since then, at my request, they've raised it from 2% to 5%. But Poland was one of two nations that paid more than they were supposed to, which was a very nice thing. Yeah.
Mr. President, what you are saying that you were not invited to the parade in Beijing?
Never even thought about it until just now.
President Lavrovsky, what's your message for President?
Never even thought. It wouldn't have been my place to be there.
On tariffs?
Will you visit a restaurant in D.C.? You haven't gone to...
I might. Sure.
You haven't gone to one in either of your terms that wasn't...
How do you know?
Because I and many other...
Do you want me to prove you wrong? Do you want me to prove you wrong?
Yes, please.
But I will... I think it's something we could consider doing. Love to do it. I love the White House food, but after a while, I could see going to a nice restaurant. It's safe. If you would have said, like, the governor, Governor Moore, wanted me to go and walk through Baltimore with him, and I said, you know, I think I'm a brave guy, but there's no reason to be stupid. They have crime that's at levels that nobody's ever seen before in Baltimore. They've done a terrible job. We'd go into Baltimore, straighten it out very quickly, too. You know why? They respect our soldiers. You see our soldiers. They respect our soldiers. We'd go there, too. We're going to have people asking us to go. They're going to want to. And I think the people of those places are, the politicians are not in tune with the people. The people in Chicago, the people in Baltimore, the people in all of the places we talk about, they want to see us there. And I think we're pretty much waiting till we get asked and properly. We're doing them a big service. Yeah, please.
You talked about how historic these tariffs have been, bringing in revenue, additional revenue for our country. You've also mentioned before they could possibly replace federal income tax.
Possible.
Do you think that's...
Someday it's possible. It used to be. So if you go back to 1913 is when they ended tariffs. We were the richest ever from 1850. It was all tariffs. We didn't have income taxes. From 1850 to 1913. In the 1887s, about 1887, they had the Great National Tariff Act. And it was a group of people that got together because our country was so rich, they didn't know what to do with the money. We had so much money, they didn't know what to do. It was a group of very prominent people that were set up to hand out money to everybody because we were the richest we ever were. Proportionately, we were in 1887, around that time, even in 1913, we ended them in 1913. How did that work out? And then we went to the income tax system, and then we had the Depression. And by the way, a lot of people try and say that, oh, tariffs with the Depression. No, they ended in 1913, and then we went to income tax, and then in 1929, you had the Depression. They did try and bring it back in 1931-32, but the Depression had long started, and this poor, beautiful nation was gone. It was gone. We suffered for 25 years. It took 25-30 years to really recover from the Depression. And we don't ever want to see that happen again. The tariffs are vital to the success of this country. When I say I ended seven wars, at least half of those wars were ended because of the power of tariffs. I was able to say, well, we're not doing any business with you, or if you're going to war, we're putting a big tariff on you. And all of a sudden, they announced that the war was settled. I settled seven different wars, one going 31 years. Look at the Congo and Rwanda. Look at that. 31 years, 10 million people dead. I got it settled. And a little bit of that one, less than in some cases, had to do with trade and had to do with tariffs. So, you know, tariffs are vital to our country. And just so you know, other countries use them on us, but I just use them a lot better. We're in a much better position. We have trillions of dollars coming into our country. If we didn't have tariffs, we would be a very poor nation, and we would be taken advantage of by every other nation in the world, friend and foe. We're not going to let that happen. And we have a very, very big case in the Supreme Court. I can only say this. Our country has a chance to be unbelievably rich again, but it can also be unbelievably poor again. If we don't win that case, our country is going to suffer so greatly.
What's the backup plan, sir?
But I think we're going to have a big victory. Even if you look at the people that brought the case, they're foreign oriented. Countries have taken advantage of the United States for so many years. And I started with China. You know, last term, I took in hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs from China. But when COVID came, the last thing I was going to do is we're going to tariff France and Italy and, you know, others, Spain, when they were doing so badly. But now we made a deal with the European Union where they're paying us almost $1 trillion. And they're happy to do it. You know what? They're happy. It's done. These deals are all done. I guess we'd have to unwind them. We've done deals with Japan, with South Korea. We've done deals with many countries and others to come. And if we didn't have the power, prestige, and dignity of tariffs, and I used them wisely, and people respect America again, and we've become a rich country again. The money coming in is incredible. And again, they use them on us. If we didn't have them, they would use them on us, and we would have no way to fight them. We would be a third world nation. So I think it's one of the most important cases I've ever seen go before the Supreme Court of the U.S.
You gave Vladimir Putin a two-week deadline to agree to talks with Volodymyr Zelensky. That deadline is now nearly approached. Can you give us any indication when you will make a decision?
Well, I'm having a conversation with him very shortly, and I'll know pretty much what we're going to be doing. We've taken very strong action, as you know. And in other ways, we've taken very strong action. But I'll be speaking to him over the next few days, and we're going to see.
With who, sir?
I'm going to know exactly what's happening.
Mr. President,
I'm not happy with all the people. You got 7,819 people killed last week. Russian soldiers and Ukraine soldiers, right? Not American soldiers, not soldiers from Poland, but they're human beings, they're souls. They have parents, they wave goodbye to their parents, and their parents never see them again. That's the end of them. Over a stupid war, and I want to see it stopped. Now, we have stopped the money. We send weapons to NATO. They pay full price. We don't, you know, Biden spent $350 billion so stupidly. And it was one of the reasons that this whole thing happened. A big reason this war happened was sitting right in these chairs, this one in particular. So I will tell you that I think we're going to have a good solution. But they're losing soldiers at levels that nobody has seen since the Second World War. This is the worst conflict, and it's just going on and on. It's one's defense, one's offense. The offense moves a little bit, just a little bit. You take a look. They move inches. They're dropping bombs and killing everybody. The whole thing is crazy. Not since the Second World War has there been anything even close to this. And they're not, again, they're not soldiers from my country. This is my country. But I have a power to end things. That's why I was able to end seven other wars. And you know that I thought of the seven, they're basically seven. Those are tough wars to end. Much tougher, I thought, than the war with Ukraine and Russia. I thought that Ukraine and Russia, I have a very good relationship with President Putin. I thought that that would be much easier. I thought that would be in the middle of the pack, maybe one of the easiest. Sometimes you never know with war. You know, war is a very interesting thing. You never know with war. War is complex and dangerous, and what a mess, what a bloody mess. It's going to get done one way or the other. but they have to stop killing all of these souls. They're souls, and we have to stop killing.
Just a follow up on that, sir.
Thank you, press.
Thank you, press. Thank you, press. Keep moving.